Redux is an adjective meaning brought back or bringing back. This is Make Shift Stories Redux, selected tales re-edited and re-recorded from the last 10 years of the podcast. Relax, let the world go by, and open your imagination as we drop back to February 4th, 2010, to listen to the very first story in the Somewhere Sometime series, a fairy tale, The Boy Who Loved Candy, read by Mitchell Too.
Somewhere in some time, there might have been a peppermint candy garden. Peppermint, cinnamon, vanilla, and butterscotch danced enticingly under Marco's nose, making his nostrils twitch in anticipation. Well, he imagined a buttery, soft mint chocolate square melt in his mouth, taking him to the intoxicating heights of a sugary ecstasy. He dreamed of fields of peppermint candy sticks with jello-y mint-flavored leaves waiting for him in the syrupy yellow comforting heat of a midsummer day. This was his secret garden, which could only be found by eating an elusive cherry licorice trail, visible only to him. Cathelian dreamed, too, of sweet peppermint-flavored treats irresistibly finding their way to him like bees to a magnificent flower. Marco woke from his dream, ravenous. He was always hungry. Marco had an appetite for candy that could not be quenched. It was legendary in the town where his family lived. Marco craved and ate candy from sunup to sundown. And sometimes he'd even sleepwalk into the neighbor's house in a desperate hunt for just one more bite. Fed up, the townspeople finally forced Marco's parents to lock their doors and all their windows each night, so they would not be disturbed by their son's nocturnal foraging and loud munching. So now, Marco could only dream. Every day, Marco's parents tried to make him stop, and every night, Marco dreamed of the fields of peppermint at the end of the elusive licorice path. And Cathelian dreamed of talking treats he had yet to meet and to eat, and sometimes the treats and his dreams even mixed. Peppermint fields and candy drones bound by licorice tendrils. He encouraged the treat to grow. To put it mildly, Marco liked candy more than anything else in his life. He was a bit obsessed. He ate and ate and ate it nonstop, and he asked for it, requested it, pleaded for it, and demanded it until his parents usually gave in. In response, he grew and grew, at first taller and taller, then wider and wider. He ate all the candy his parents could afford. Then one day, set off toward the candy store, where the frightened proprietor ran away as soon as he heard Marco was coming. Some town folks claimed you could smell Marco as he passed, a mixture of peppermint butterscotch and vanilla that seemed to cling to him in ways that perfume never could. Marco eagerly abandoned his parents' home to take up permanent residence in the candy shop, where he ate and ate and ate and grew until he filled the entire store. Although the candy quickly ran out, the delivery trucks kept coming, for fear that if the store was empty, Marco would follow them back to their villages. His shape and texture soon achieved the consistency of a marshmallow, and no one could make him move. He ate more, propelled by an obsessive desire he couldn't shake. He ate sweet tarts and candy corn, gummy bears and Mentos. He munched on wine gums and dum-dums, roller ranchers and popcorn candy. He occasionally took a break with jelly beans and dreamed his dream of peppermint fields, filled with a mysterious and unquenchable desire for... for what? For something he had never tasted, for something that he couldn't remember. Then he'd wake up, more ravenous than ever, and start on gummy bears and kisses, walnut whips and fizzing strawberries that melted away on his tongue, making him want more and more and more. And soon, his great mass broke through the walls of the little shop while he yelled, "More!" at the top of his lungs.
More candy canes, more jelly beans, more licorice, he cried, making the townspeople cower in fear. A few of the braver ones came meekly forward, offering carrots and other vegetables, trying to desperately convince the boy who now filled most of the street that he had to stop for their sake, if not his own. With the casual sweep of a giant pudgy arm, he angrily swept them away, hurtling villagers through the sky like so many paper dolls. After that, they kept their distance, and the trucks of candy from surrounding towns recklessly dumped their loads into the now sticky streets before scurrying off to safety, until one day there was no more candy to be had anywhere. Enraged, he jumped up and down, screaming for more, causing a minor earthquake that some say dropped the entire town by a meter. Yet there was no more candy to be had. Angry and frustrated, he finally fell into a fitful sleep of ravenous craving, mumbling so loud in his dreams that farmers on the other side of the valley could hear his unconscious pleas for cocoa limes and sherbet lemons. No one slept for days. Then one day, as the entire county reached the height of desperation, as if by magic, a braided cherry licorice rope snaked into town one morning, casually winding its way through the deserted streets down the wooded hill on the edge of town and out of sight. The alluring and subtle smell of cherry candy slowly wormed its way into Marco's dream, twisting into his sleeping mind, finding his consciousness then, baiting it to the surface. Marco woke with a start. He was consumed by a fervid desire. He sniffed the cool morning air and forced his great, donutty body to painfully realign to the fragrant scent that caressed his nostrils. With the delight of someone who is seeing what they dreamed of, Marco spotted the licorice trail. The ground shuddered, and Marco jittered with the effort of a great ancient beast rising to hunt for food. The noise woke everyone in town as Marco, now on long disused hands and knees, began to slurp up the tantalizing trail. It tasted so good, so rich, better than anything Marco had ever had before. On hands and knees, struggling to overcome his great girth, he ever so slowly dragged himself out of town, following the deliciously hypnotic rope like a giant whale following a particularly tasty stream of plankton. Cathalion's sleep was light and broken, filled with dreamy and disturbing images of a sweet treat, and oh so large it was, unimaginably large, sweetened to perfection under his remote direction, getting bigger and better in every dream. The treat was finally rolling through the fields, drawn by his hunger and desire. It was the dream he willed himself to dream every night, waking in the middle, only to find himself back in space, hungry, drifting, and looking for weeks on end for that field the treat would be dreaming of too. His ship landed with a harsh jolt that made his more than ample tummy shake like jelly. That was it, he thought. He craved orange jelly, or better yet, a whole ship full of peach jelly laced with chunks of chocolatey treats. His mouth watered at the thought as he opened the hatch to release the lure. Marco munched his way downhill, gaining speed at a rate that would have concerned anyone else, but barely propelled him forward fast enough to satisfy his ever-growing appetite. It was eerily like his dream. Growing stronger and stronger, the wonderful, irresistible smell of his imaginary peppermint field drove all other thoughts but one from his mind. Candy. He must get to that amazing field and eat. And the more of the licorice rope he ate, the stronger his desire became. The thought was so compelling and the smell of peppermint so intoxicating that Marco didn't notice the large, sleek, silvery shape from another world, which should not have been at the end of the sugary trail. Nor did he notice the large open door that the licorice spilled out of. Nor could he have stopped even if he wanted to, for his hunger and momentum had become too great. Like a huge cruise liner, unable to turn, Marco plunged through the oval-shaped opening getting stuck in the process. The smell of peppermint was mind-numbingly intoxicating, but the impact with the opening revived Marco enough to hear the smacking of alien lips. The ship shuddered as the delicious, irresistibly scrumptious treat tried to push its way into the hatch. It was larger, puffier, and bigger than Cathelion could have ever hoped for, and it was stuck halfway into the ship. The treat's massive bulk prevented it from getting any further in. And there it squirmed, ravenously sniffing the air. Suddenly, fear overcame Cathelion. What if the treat was after him? Had the desires and obsessions he had been nurturing it with been too much this time? Instinctively, he pressed himself against the cool carbon of the wall furthest from the hatch. The shrill electronic scream of an alarm clock pierced the air, making the walls melt away. The twins reluctantly began to stretch out the stiffness of the night, chasing the thickness of sleep away.
"Boys, get up. It's late."
Still recovering from their dreams, Margo and Cathelion didn't immediately answer.
"I've got a surprise,"
their mother baited.
"It's your birthdays. We've hidden treats all over the house. We're going to have a treasure hunt, then eat birthday cake."
Marco and Cathelion looked at each other, then yelled together,
"No thanks! Do you have any carrots?"
Redux is a Makeshift Stories production. Makeshift Stories is a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network, powered by ATB Financial. To listen to other great APN podcasts, such as Northern Nerd or Work Not Work, please head over to albertapodcastnetwork.com. ATB Financial, our network sponsor, has a new digital bank account. And the best part? There's basically no fees as long as you're doing most of your banking digitally. And you can also earn interest on higher balances. Check out ATB Financial and all their other great services at atb.com. Makeshift Stories is released twice a month around the 1st and the 15th. This month's story was written by Ellen V. Hare and read by Mitchell Too. Opening and closing music was composed and recorded by David Hume. If you'd like to connect with us or have ideas for other episodes you'd like us to re-release, please send us an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. You can help us out by writing a review on Stitcher Radio or Apple Podcasts, or any of your favorite podcast services. Makeshift Stories is released under Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution, No Derivative License, which means you're free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.